God. Why don't you grab your Bible? Stand with me. Grab your Bibles. Hold them in the air. Wave them in the devil's face. Let him know you mean business. Let him know you got your sword with you today. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil
every day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation
of His will
for my life.
Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, give us revelation for your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And remember, next week is Mother's Day. Bring your mama. Amen.
Amen.
Bring your mama. Bring your daddy. Bring it. Bring everybody. We're going to celebrate mothers next week. But today we're going to begin a new series, a new topic. Last week we finished our series on victory over the devil, or the fact that Satan is a defeated enemy. And this series somewhat should lead into that, because if you know that you have victory over the devil, if you know that Satan is already defeated in your life, then you can begin to understand how to walk in the miraculous. And you've got to believe in your heart that God desires to perform the supernatural in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
He wants to use you. Well, I don't like the word use, because sometimes when we think about using somebody, that's really a negative connotation. I don't like nobody using me. Amen? But God wants to partner with you. Praise God.
Amen.
And he wants to allow you to be his vessel through which his miraculous power flows. He wants vessels that will demonstrate his power upon the earth. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. We are planning on this summer doing some outreach, doing some ministry, and it's great to pass out tracts, and we're going to do that. Glory to God.
Amen.
We got tracts in the back, and we want y'all to pass those out. It's great to pass out flyers. Praise God. We should do that. We should tell people about Jesus. We should go out to people and ask them if they know the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen.
We should be trying our best to win people to Jesus Christ. This church should be a soul-winning station. Hallelujah. We don't want anybody going to hell, and we should be doing the best we can to make sure that that doesn't happen. If people, as C.A. Spurgeon once said, if people go to hell, they should jump over us to get there. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But the thing is that we also need to understand that passing out tracts does not necessarily get a lot of people's attention. Because most people have had tracts passed out to them maybe more than 10 times, maybe even 30 times in their life. Praise God. I remember before I got saved for real. I mean, you know, I said the sinner's prayer I don't know how many different times, but before I really got saved, I used to go down to the red light district, and there were people out there who loved Jesus, and they were passing out tracts and trying to tell me about the Lord. And see, because I was religious, I wasn't a Christian, but I was religious, I would never throw the tracts away. I would keep them and put them in my little Jehovah Witness Bible that I had. And I don't know how many different tracts by so many different people. And they didn't really have the effect on me that they should have had. Now, again, God has ordained the passing out of tracts. Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm not putting down passing out tracts. I believe that tracts are God ordained. What I'm saying is that that's not always necessarily enough. People need to see that God is real. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They don't need to just read about him in a tract. They don't need to just read a couple of scriptures. Now, praise God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Many people do get saved through those tracts simply by reading their Bible or by reading a tract. But there are a number of people, especially in this day and age, who need more than just an intellectual presentation of the gospel. They need to see God move in a mighty way in their life. Let me tell you a quick story, and then we're going to get into some of the scriptures that I want to share with you in the beginning of this series. Years ago, I was talking to a young man and trying to share with him about Jesus Christ in my office. Back then, I was super zealous and got in trouble a lot because I would be preaching in my office during work time, praise God. Now, listen, when you want to share the gospel with somebody, do it during lunchtime, amen? before or after work, but during work, that's your boss's time, praise God. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. Because I was zealous for Christ, and God blessed me and had mercy on me, but I had to learn you don't do this during work hours. But in this situation, I was sharing with this young man, and then he came back from the doctor one day. And he came to me, he was so sullen looking. And I said, well, so what's going on? And he told me he had a big fat bump in on a part of his anatomy. And he was scared that it was cancer. I mean, he was so super scared. And so I said, well, let's go outside. And so, you know, I don't know where the boldness came from. But I said, I'm going to pray. And this thing is going to disappear in the name of Jesus. And so I put my hand on him, and I said, I command this thing to come off of you in Jesus' name. And so he went to the doctor a couple of days later, and he came back so happy. He said, the thing is gone. Glory to God. See, that was a work of God. Well, him, his wife, and two other couples came to my house that Saturday. And we shared the gospel with them, and all four of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Because of a supernatural occurrence that happened in this man's life, that in which I prayed for. Now, I wish I could say it was this hand that did it. Praise God.
Amen.
I wish I could go and just heal everybody, but it doesn't happen that way. God is the one who brings forth the miracles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I need to be bold in being his vessel and ensuring that he's able to bring the miraculous through me. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at John chapter 14, our foundation text. I don't know how long this series is going to go. I'm going to try to keep it short because I know we went very long with the Defeat of the Devil series, but I think some of y'all needed that. I think some of y'all need to remember your authority, the authority you have over the devil in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Too many of us are walking in defeat. We're living in defeated lives. And even with me knowing, with the knowledge of this stuff I have, I still sometimes allow myself to get beaten down by the devil, praise God. But I'm learning to walk in what I preach, hallelujah, or practice what I preach. And the devil is a defeated enemy. And God is a miracle working God. God desires to work miracles today. Now, there are people who will tell you that the days of miracles are over. Well, I want you to know that that is a lie. Straight from the pits of hell. That is Satan. And by the way, anybody, if you, we have our book in the back. Miracles Are For Today, which some of this series is based on. If you want a copy of it, same thing. If you're going to just throw it on the shelf, then you pay for it. If you need a copy of it, you want to read it, but you just say, Pastor Troy, I can't afford it right now, then praise God, get a copy of the book, and we'll pray for you to prosper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, one of my favorite passages of scripture. I just love this passage. I have a lot of favorite passages, and this is one of them. John 14, verse 12. Now, in the background, Jesus is about to he's about to die, so he's meeting with his disciples, and he's telling them about his death, and he's telling them about the Holy Spirit coming and everything like that. And he's talking to them about the Father. And so Philip says, well, Lord, why don't you just show us the Father? And that'll be enough for us. And he says, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you don't know me? He said, anybody who has seen me has seen the Father. Praise God.
Amen.
So if you want to know what God is like, then just read about Jesus. Read about Jesus' life. Read about his love for people. That is what the Father is like. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three are exactly alike. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Some people make it sound like that the Father is mean and ornery and that Jesus has to step up and say, please, Father, don't hurt them. No. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three are exactly alike. They all love you just the same. Praise God.
Amen.
So if you want to know what God is like, then look at Jesus. And then Jesus goes on after he says that the Father, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Then he goes on to talk about the fact that when we get to know him, when we begin to walk in intimacy with him, then we can walk in the miraculous. Hallelujah. He says that, and this is astounding, because if Jesus had never said this, it would be difficult for me to believe it. But he says that we can do the exact same kind of miracles that he did. I mean, Jesus went around healing people. I mean, healing people of not just, you know, a headache and all that kind of stuff. Jesus was healing people from leprosy. Today we would look at that. We would look at AIDS and we'd be scared to even touch a person. But Jesus was healing people from those kind of diseases. Glory to God. Amen. And he wasn't sitting there saying, oh, you in sin. I can't heal you. No, Jesus was going to the sinners and healing them and then bringing that. That healing was what was bringing a change in people's lives, praise God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I was listening to a man who goes to Walmart almost every day, and he heals people. And God allows him as a vessel, uses him as a vessel to heal people. And he says that sinners, every time he prays with a sinner, just about all of them get healed. He said, it's the Christians I pray with that have problems. Most of them never get healed. Which is sad. See, sinners can receive from the supernatural. It's people who've been in church a long time that have difficulty receiving from God. But I thank God that we're going to get better. Now look at this. John 14:12. It says, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, now that part would be, it's one thing for Jesus to say that I can do the same works that he did. That part, even though that's difficult to believe intellectually, it's still easier to receive than the fact that he said, and greater works. Greater works than Jesus? Greater works than somebody who went around casting out demons, healing the sick, stopping the bad weather from coming into a boat, feeding 5,000 with only two loaves of bread, with only two fishes and five loaves of bread? I can do greater works than that? Oh, that's hard to believe. And the problem with the church has been that they have, because it's hard to believe, they have settled for unbelief, praise God.
Amen.
Instead of accepting the fact that God's word is true, in spite of my intellectual capacity to receive it, people have decided, well, Jesus didn't really mean miracle works. He was talking about the works of feeding the poor and the hungry. Oh, those are good works, praise God.
Amen.
And we need to do those, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's why I appreciate and admire the work that Pastor Christic does with Eye Care Ministries, glory to God. I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me how he had a breakfast for the people around the church that he's pastoring now. And, you know, I thank God for people who do those kind of works, glory to God. Those works should be done, hallelujah.
Amen.
However, this is not what Jesus was talking about here. What Jesus was talking about here was miraculous works. Supernatural miracles is exactly what Jesus was talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so in order to defeat the powerlessness of the church and the unbelief that has continued to creep into the church that prevents us from walking in the miracles that God expects us to walk in, because God is not going to work through anybody who doesn't believe him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's not going to force his will on you and me. If we won't believe him, then he won't work through us. But if we believe him, you know, think about it. Would you want to help somebody that continually calls you a liar?
No.
No. That's what people are doing when they say, well, I don't believe you, God. You just said God lied. Because that's what basically what unbelief is saying God didn't tell the truth there. But if God said it, as Jerry Savelle would say, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, but let's look at it. We want to look at a couple of passages that show you that when Jesus is talking about works here, he is not talking about necessarily feeding the poor, which is a great thing, which something and things we need to do. He's not talking about giving money to missions or going on missions, even though those are things that the Bible teaches us we need to do. But in this particular passage, when Jesus is talking about not only the works that he did, but greater works, he is talking about miracles. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me show you that in the scriptures itself. Let's look at John chapter 9, verse 1. Go a couple of chapters back. John chapter 9. Is anybody hot in here? Are y'all hot? Y'all okay? Because we can turn on the air conditioner if you're hot. We want you to be comfortable. Because we want you to come back. John chapter 9. Let's begin at verse 1. And it reads, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, before we go further, people have taught this scripture to say that God made this man blind in order for Jesus to work his miracles in him. That's not the true interpretation of this passage. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have time to get into deep detail explanation of it, but basically what this passage is saying is that Jesus was here to help everybody against the works that the devil was doing in their lives. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why Jesus was manifested. Basically, what the disciples and all the people around that time believed in this thing called karma. And you'll see that taught in a lot of religions today, Buddhism and Hinduism and stuff like that. If the person did something in their past life that was wrong, then they will come back into this life and pay the price for it. And so that's why if you go to India, you will see that people are so cold, they don't even take care of the poor because they figure, well, you did something really bad in your past life that caused you to be this way today. If that's the way the Hindu religion is. And a lot of these people believe that type of stuff, and they were very cold-hearted towards people like this man. They figured, well, either you sinned or your parents sinned, and so that's why you in the mess you in today. That's why you're blind. And they were cold-hearted. And Jesus came to destroy that philosophy. He came to let people know that this is Satan that's causing people to be blind, to be sick, to be lame, and I've come here to deal with it. Praise God.
Amen.
Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says that Jesus was anointed with God, of God, with the power and the Holy Spirit, and he came to deliver all those or heal all those who were oppressed of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's what Jesus is saying here when we compare scripture with scripture. And if I had time, I would get into the original languages, because I studied this passage out thoroughly. And I've seen that it just does not say what people try to make it say. But if we study scripture with scripture, we see that God did not ordain for people to be sick, to be put into these positions, to be made blind. But he ordained Jesus to come and release them from what the devil was doing to them. Glory to God.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is talking about here. But notice what Jesus says. And this is the thing I want you to see. He says, but that the works of God, say works.
Works.
Now remember, John 14:12 says that the works that Jesus did, we shall do, and greater works. Praise God.
Amen.
Now look at the works of God that Jesus is about to do with this blind man. He's not about to feed him. He's not about to give him money. He is about to perform a miraculous healing. Now look at this. He says, I must, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had spoken, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Glory to God.
Amen.
So what was the works of God that Jesus did here in this particular passage? He healed a blind man. Thank you, Lydia. You're getting to the front of the class. Hallelujah. You're going to graduate. The rest of y'all, I'm going to have to work on you some more. I'm going to make y'all do a do-over. All right. So what was the works of God that Jesus did here?
He healed a blind.
All right. Maybe I won't have to do that do-over after all. So the works of God that Jesus did here was heal a blind man. Glory to God.
Amen.
So when Jesus says, the works that I do shall ye do also, he is talking about works of supernatural miracles, such as healing and deliverance. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But if that's not enough for you, turn with me to Mark chapter 6. We believe that the Bible, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We should never build a doctrine on only just one particular passage. But if more than one passage supports it, then we need to believe the doctrine. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so here we see in Mark chapter 6, let me get there. Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. He says, and he could, this is in the background, Jesus is going to his own village and the people didn't receive him. You know, it's hard for people to receive you in your own hometown, praise God. Here, Jesus, the Messiah, and the people, because they grew up with him, they found it difficult to believe that he's the Messiah. It's just like I go home and people find it difficult to believe I'm a preacher. And we grew up with him. We know what he's like. Him preaching? Please. You a pastor? Please. Well, praise God, I'm different now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not the same little boy that grew up with y'all. But Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And he says, and because these people didn't believe him, he said he could there do no mighty work. Say mighty work.
Mighty work.
See, Jesus said he could not there do any mighty work. Now, we're going to find out that the mighty work he was talking about was not feeding the poor or giving money for missions. The work he was talking about was healing the sick and bringing deliverances. Praise God. He says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief and went round about the villages teaching. Why did Jesus have to go around teaching? Because the only way to deal with unbelief is by giving people the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing today. We're trying to build your faith by giving you the word of God by teaching. That's why this church is a teaching ministry. Because we want your faith built so that you can begin to walk in the miraculous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know how this church is going to get filled to the full? Not just by Pastor Troy. Not just by Sister Taco. It's going to be filled to the full with you and us all working to bring the sinners into Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
And the way we're going to do it is when somebody has a need, you pray for them, watch God move in their life, and they're going to wonder, well, man, with a God like that, what kind of church do you go to? Glory to God. I want to go there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And, you know, see, we try to win people to the churches by our great music and our great decorations and our programs and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. People are tired of programs. Do you hear me?
Amen.
I hear Michelle at the back saying amen. Me and Michelle, we've been through that. People are fed up with programs, I'm telling you. Especially those who are on staff and have to be the ones always dealing with the programs, praise God.
Amen.
I tell you, boy, as a pastor, I think, people tell me back, Pastor, you work so hard, you do so much. Well, it's true, I do work hard, and I do work hard for this church, but I'm telling you, I work less harder than I did when I was an associate pastor at another church, praise God. Having to be a part of all these different programs and stuff. People don't want programs, they want Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
They want Jesus. They're tired of the programs. They're tired of the church coming up with this and coming up with that, trying to fill space. People want the miraculous. Now, is there anything wrong with programs? There are God-ordained programs. Praise God.
Amen.
There are God-ordained programs that we can have, we can participate in. You know, this church probably can do a few more programs, and we will in the future. We won't do it right now because I don't want to wear some of y'all out. But but the way to get people to come to know to church and to come to know the Lord is not going to be through programs. It's going to be through mighty works. Glory to God.
Amen.
And he says, and he marveled because of the unbelief, and he went about the villages teaching. So he taught the word of God. And that's why we're going to continue to teach here. And, you know, I know that there are some people who want the in and the on and the on. I'm sorry, I can't give you that. I've got to build your faith so that you can be an army for Jesus Christ. Glory to God.
Amen.
Because too many people walk out of this out of churches and they didn't heard the in and the on and the they didn't heard all that. And they still ain't doing nothing for Jesus. They go home and say, oh, didn't pastor preach up a storm today? Yeah, girl. And then they turn on the TV and watch all kinds of foolishness. And ain't sharing the gospel with nobody. So we're going to teach you the word of God so that you can walk in the works of God. Say the works of God.
The works of God.
Glory to God. God wants you to walk in his works. Let's look at, let's go down to verse 12. Let me see if I got that up on the screen. Okay. Yeah, let's start with verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. This is the disciples of Jesus. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, heard of Jesus. See, that's how people are going to hear of Jesus. By you, his disciples, going out and healing the sick and casting out devils. Praise God. If you want, if some of y'all want Barack Obama to know Jesus, start healing the sick. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Maybe our president will stop supporting Planned Parenthood and homosexual marriage and stuff like that when he really knows that Jesus is real. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. I know some of y'all say, well, I like him anyway, but praise God. The thing is, We want to win him to Jesus Christ, praise God. So we need to be miracle workers for the Lord. And it goes on to say, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore, mighty works, say mighty works.
Mighty works.
And therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him. See, it was the mighty works, not just the feeding of the poor, or the giving to missions, or any of the stuff that people say John 14, 12 is talking about. The mighty works of Jesus in John 14, 12, the greater work, the works that he did, and the greater works he did, you shall do, or you shall do greater works than he did. Those are talking about miracles, glory to God.
Amen.
So we are going, we here are going to learn to walk in the miraculous. We're going to learn to lay hands on the sick. We're going to learn to lay hands on each other. We're going to learn when somebody calls you up and says, Pastor or so, Sister so-and-so, I got a toothache. Instead of you saying, well, I feel so bad for you, won't you take two aspirin? Now take the painkiller, all right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But see, the painkiller don't get rid of the infection. So you need to pray for that person that they will be completely healed, glory to God.
Amen.
And lay hands on them and pray for them and rebuke the infection that's causing the toothache in the first place. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
You need to learn to pray for people's headaches. You need to learn to pray for people's backaches. You need to pray. You need to learn to pray when people tell you they got cancer and they only got a couple months to live. Say, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. My grandmother defied those death sentences for over 20 years. I mean, she lived to be 88. Back in her 50s, they told her she was going to die. She lived.
Amen.
In her 60s, a couple years again, she got sick and they told her she was going to die.
Amen.
She lived.
Amen.
They told her again. I don't know how many death sentences they gave her. The woman lived to be 88 years old. I attended her funeral, and she still had a sharp mind when the last time I saw her, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. With all her grandchildren, she still remembered Troy and still could tell me stories of how she used to beat my butt and all this stuff when I was little. So I tell you, you don't have to go out with a deformed mind either, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can work the miracles of God. Let me share with you real quickly before we close out. And this is, I don't know how many of you have ever heard the name Martin Luther, but Martin Luther was a man who, he was a Catholic monk. And back in those days, the Catholics, they didn't teach you about salvation. They taught you that you had to give a certain amount of money to the church, and then we could pray your parents out of purgatory and all this stuff. And they would never let the common people read the Bible. The common people were ignorant anyway, didn't even know how to read. But they had the Bible in Latin. Nobody could read Latin, and that was the way that they would control the people, was telling them what was in the Bible. Well, Martin Luther, who was a monk, discovered one day that salvation does not come by works, but through Jesus Christ. And so he rebelled against the Catholic Church and stood up against it and began to protest it. That's where you get the word Protestant from, the Protestant denomination.
Mm.
And he began to protest. And so all that led to later on him having the Bible translated into the language of the people and having them read it. And he got married and stuff like that. And Martin Luther also discovered that God is still a miracle worker. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let me read to you a passage from The Ministry of Healing by A.J. Gordon. It said, see, a friend of his, Melanchthon, was very sick and he was about to die. And so Martin Luther began to pray for him. And he says, for when they brought him a girl, this is a different story. When they brought him a girl saying that she was possessed with a devil, Luther laid his hand on her head, appealed to the Lord's promise. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. And then prayed to God and with the rest of the ministers of the church for Christ's sake he would cast the devil out of this girl. Perfect recovery is recorded in this instance as well as in several others where he prayed for the sick. Praise God.
Amen.
So he quoted John 14:12 with a girl that was demon possessed, and she fully recovered in body and mind. But I was just about to tell you the story of a friend of his named Melanchthon, who was also close to death. And Martin Luther began to pray and quote God his promises and say, if you expect me to ever believe you again, Father God, you need to heal this man. Well, God did heal Melanchthon, and Melanchthon outlived Martin Luther, praise God.
Amen.
So God is in the miracle working business to this day.
Amen.
And he wants to do miracles through you and me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So as we go through this series, I want y'all to really grasp this truth. I want you to get it in your spirit and begin to say to yourself, I can do the miraculous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I mean, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, they're outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're not just for the ministers. They're not just for the preachers. Although you should, as your pastor, you should call me when you're sick. You know, I should pray for you. You can still pray for yourself. Glory to God.
Amen.
You don't have to wait for the pastor. What if the pastor's phone that ran out of juice that day? What if the pastor's on the toilet and can't answer the phone? I know somebody said, "Well, I don't need that imagination." Right? But what if the pastor's out somewhere? You know, with his wife having dinner. You know, a romantic dinner or something, and don't want to be bothered. Well, that may not happen. I mean, the not being bothered part, I still answer my phone. But still, but what I'm saying is that I may not always be available to you, praise God.
Amen.
But Jesus is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And he don't take vacation. He don't have romantic dinners with people. And if he does, he's omniscient. I mean, he's omnipresent, so he can be everywhere at the same time. And he doesn't need to use the toilet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he's always available. And God can work miracles through little, old, insignificant you. Praise God.
Amen.
You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist or an apostle. You don't have to be any of that. All you have to do, you can be deacon so-and-so or head usher Martha or praise and worship leader, whoever you are. That's all you need is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God will work miracles through little old you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't have to be some Pastor Mary always coming up and giving us the words of prophecies and encouragements and healing and allowing God to use the healing gifts through her. Some of y'all can do that too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of y'all can move in prophecy and tongues and interpretations. And we're going to talk about you receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues later on in this series. But you can receive all of that, and you can do all of that. Oh, you ought to get excited. Stand to your feet.
Amen.